and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, I'm recovering from my slapstick injuries from Chicago this weekend. Thanks to Health Sparks for filling in for Mommy yesterday. Tiny, teensy bit under the weather. Hey, here I am, full strength, sort of. The Stephanie Miller Show. At Tuesdays with Tyler, she's on her way rappelling up the side of the building, as she always does, with her...
using her archer skills.
Her archer suction cups.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she will be joining us shortly. Gary Elleveld from The Advocate to discuss the big marriage equality ruling Friday in New York. And Ian Millhiser, he's a legal animus.
Yes.
To discuss David Prosser's chokehold.
Actually, Carrie is no longer with
The
Advocate.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, she's with
Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe.
She's with EqualityMatters.org.
Of course she is. I knew that.
Okay.
All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Thank you, Chicago! Chris walked in that theater when I'm a little over my head.
Uh-oh.
Gorgeous theater.
Yeah.
Almost 3,000 seats. Nearly sold out. We were just a few seats short of sellout. 10-piece blues band, and it was a... Look, Aisha Tyler's here! It's Tuesday. Better jingle ready! Yay!
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, that gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. Tyler. The next sexy liberal up the chute. Come on now.
Up the chute. So many pictures were made so quickly. Good morning.
Good morning, honey. I know you guys are used to the road. I'm not, so I had to take yesterday off and recover from my slapstick injuries.
I totally understand. Yes, some terrible pratfall kind of open wounds.
I throw myself around like a little bit of a rag doll. I did a sing-along to Baby, I Was Born This Way with the audience, with the band, which I didn't rehearse at all, but it seemed to go fine.
Wow. Yeah. But the band was ready. They stuck it up.
A lot of straddling audience members, a lot of groping.
Wow.
Even some tongue. I slid some people the tongue.
Dance. Is this lap dance for a little extra?
Lap dancing?
Did you take pictures of your cooter?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Aww. Yep.
Wow, that's giving. You're a giving artist. Like, I leave it all out there on the stage and a little bit more that you didn't want to see.
All right.
So was it a great show? Did you have a great time? You were doing a recap when I walked in. I want to hear all about
10 piece blues band, Chicago Theater. It was crazy, insane. Gay Pride weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yay Pride. Yeah. It was so much fun.
It's awesome. We did the... play-by-play, you know, the color
commentary of the parade. Yeah.
There's another guy in a thong and techno music, and now here, that was 3 hours of that.
Right, here's another. A bunch of insanely in-shape guys that make me want to kill myself, all way hotter than me. It's really upsetting when all the queens, their waists are smaller than yours. You're like, this isn't funny, ladies.
You're like,
not funny, exactly.
All right. Devin Crown Point, the reviews are rolling in, Chris.
Oh?
Chicago Theater Performance, awesome. Steph, OMG, at the show, fabulous. I laughed so hard, my face hurt. A lot of those.
Well, your work here is done.
You are not in over your head. You were smoking hot, girl. You almost turned me gay, but then I wasn't born that way. Because
we're all born this way.
Exactly.
Adorable.
Let's see here. Oh, there's one more. Let's see. Who's this from? Carry the 4 divided by 7. Hang on 1 second. This is from David. Steph, the show was rockin' hell cool. That must be something the kids are saying.
He wrote that quickly.
Yeah.
Rockin' hell.
No, I don't
cool
think anybody's
hell.
Saying that.
Rockin' hell. No. Cool as hell, friends.
Rockin' hell, bobberty scoop.
Steph, I know you're still attracted to boys because after the show at the meet and greet, I grabbed you to take a quick picture with you guys. And when you walked in the audience and you said to me, sure, with a good-looking guy like you anytime. Then you gave me a big hug, you little softy. No, actually, just a little slutty.
Apparently, really. Table dancing, cooter snapping, pride ball making.
I'm a skull of something for everybody.
She's a giver.
And how great is John? Pretty great. I thought that was an awesome touch for Chicago, him dressed up like one of the Blues Brothers. He did a sexy liberal man. He sang, he wrote it.
I don't have any musical numbers planned.
I didn't either. And then I was like, I was born this way. Let's do it.
Did you make that up on the spot?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a sing-along with the audience.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about Hal Sparks' Dinosaur? Extremely hilarious and funny. I know, it's hilarious. I'm telling you guys, I saw actual snot and stuff coming out of people's noses. I don't know if if we want to use that in the official review section?
No.
That should go up on the poster.
Unfortunate for whoever performs at that theater after you. Make everybody wear slickers.
I don't think they hose that theater down.
Borrow, no, there's no.
It's not like
some
a porn
tarp.
Theater.
We need to borrow some tarp from Gallagher.
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry. Everybody gets their own garbage bag.
Oh, God. The big sexy news, though. Aisha Tyler joining the tour in August.
Woo!
You know, they're pushing me for a second show in Santa Fe because we sold out
Lord.
In 2 days.
Yeah.
Working me into the ground. We'll let you know on that.
Oh, how do we do that? How does that work?
And then at Detroit, Saturday, August 20th.
Yay!
Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and Aisha filling in for Hal in August. This is really exciting.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Very exciting.
Here, you know what we're going to get? There are officially, Chris, there are Steph heads.
What?
There are people that saw the show for the third time in Chicago.
They're traveling? Wow.
Yeah, because the show's different every time. Because it's topical, it's local.
Do they get stoned in the parking lot beforehand? Like?
It's pulled freshly from my ass.
Wow.
Steaming and delicious. So they drove. So Minneapolis. Yeah. What were the other ones that were close to Chicago?
Minneapolis, Madison, and Chicago, probably.
Yeah. Probably, yes.
You crazy Midwestern rockers, you.
You. Stepheads. Yeah, Meredith in Greensboro. I'm officially a stephead. I saw a sexy liberal in Durham. Now I have VIP tickets in Asheville coming up September.
Very exciting. You're creating a movement.
Oh, God, and what comes next? Oh, dear God, yes.
Tucson, looking to light up your sunshine factory? The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to set your mind aglow with their famous brand of progressive comedy.
Arizona, we want to guess.
Happiness, Arizona, where a man can walk down the street and have himself a drink without having to check the mirror and see who's gunning after him.
On July 9th at Tucson's Centennial Hall. John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Talk Radio's Woman of the Year, Stephanie Miller, will entertain you with their deep liberal thoughts and comedy so wide it could fill the Grand Canyon.
We just want to hear the truth.
Tickets are available online at uapresents.org, by calling 520-621-3341, or by visiting the Centennial Hall box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Centennial Hall on July 9th. Sexy Liberals of Tucson, get ready to show those progressive papers.
Ha ha, I get it. All right. Ah. And some of the proceeds, it'll be a charity in honor of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who just stood
up
yesterday and kissed her husband for the first time. Did you see that at a NASA ceremony?
Uh-huh.
I did not see that. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Their love story just...
it's heartbreaking. I mean, it's heartbreaking, really, everything that's happened. But it's wonderful that it's a miracle and that she's recovering in the way that she is.
That first picture of him holding her hand in the hospital was...
extraordinary.
Because, as you know, marriage equality, very big news. Yes, however, marriage
over
of
the
any
weekend.
Kind.
OMG! OMG!
OMG! Sorry, yes. Marriage for me, of course, entirely hypothetical. anyway.
An abstract concept.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's
can't get anyone to marry. But, so, theoretically. No, I was feeling a little droopy because we, in California, we're lagging behind now. California doesn't lag.
Look,
we lead.
It's exciting because New York is also kind of a progressive leadership state, and it's great that they did what they did. However... it's pretty disappointing when Iowa beats your state.
Yeah.
That's like being a full grown adult being beaten by a baby in a 100-yard dash. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, we got faced by Iowa.
We did. We did get faced by Iowa.
But what's remarkable is that this law was put through by a Republican led Congress.
I know. No, Republican guys, everything
exciting.
Made me cry this weekend. Some of their statements made me cry, but it just, you know, you've got to hand it to them. It just has become...
What's exciting is that now you can really see that there is a wave and that it is moving. Do you know what I mean? I think it used to feel like, okay, well, there are certain progressive areas of the country where this is happening, but now it feels like there's an actual movement. It is moving forward. It's only a matter of time.
And I was in, obviously, Chicago for Pride, and, you know, Illinois at least it has civil unions that they just passed New York. And so I'm just sort of going, I can't believe I'm here from California. Can't be nothing.
We're too busy being poor and hot. We're too sweaty to get anything right.
But, you know, we'll talk to Carrie Elleveld and others, Ian Millhiser, about what this is going to mean and maybe when for, because
for the country. I mean, it's critical mass is what we're reaching right now, which is exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Just drive-by glittering.
Well, besides, I suppose I need some more time to stop being such a loser.
No.
Because if gay marriage passed today, what would I do? Here I would be with my tumbleweeds.
You'd just be a hot, sexy,
flapping.
Single liberal with people chasing you down. down the street. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, stop. Mm-hmm. Please come back. What are you eating for breakfast today? I love you.
Okay, are you on Ustream?
No, I'm. I guess I am.
Actually, you're not. Not because I needed to ask you first.
You're an angel.
Just so people know that I'm not making a racist joke of any kind. When I mention,
I am eating watermelon. Yes, I am. All right,
yes, you are.
Everybody, get it all out. Get it all out.
Yeah.
I just say this about that. This is not my joke. This is Dave Chappelle's joke, and I will say it. Dave Chappelle, all credit to him. Watermelon's delicious. Okay.
It is.
I don't eat it because of my ethnicity. I eat it because it's sweet and juicy, and it's summertime.
And you know what? White people eat it too.
Exactly. White people love a watermelon.
Yes.
They go crazy over watermelon. I also ate ribs over the weekend. Also delicious. Barbecue ribs. We have barbecue. Barbecue ribs. But it was very bougie. I will say that, like, if you go to my house, it's like the bougiest barbecue. Like, my sister and her kids were over, and we're like kind of ethnic. So we had watermelon, and we had like pork ribs, you know, but they were like free range, grass fed pork.
Oh, and boy.
Then we had corn on the cob with herb butter. And so I bought this like hippie herb butter from like, the gourmet store, and I sent my niece to get the butter. She's like, that's not butter! There's pieces in it! I'm like, look, you. It's gourmet. So, yes, it was a very...
Eat the snooty soul food. Shut up.
Yes, and we made a strawberry pie, but it was like we had to walk all the way through the farmer's market to find the one, like, organic strawberry.
Okay, that's
my poor
bougie.
Nieces were sweating. Oh, yeah. I am definitely... We have a bougie house.
You're such an arugula eater.
You know what? I grow arugula in my home garden after I spread compost on it that I made for my kitchen clippings. Then I hop into my Prius and sail away on wings of angels.
Oh, my. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Back, we're off to a rollicking Tuesdays with Tyler.
Yes.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
So exciting.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Now you tell me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Aish Tyler in for Tuesdays with Tyler.
Woo-hoo!
All
so
3 hours.
Pleased to be here.
Yay!
So pleased. Good
morning.
We missed you last week.
Oh, well, I was shooting something. I was shooting a pilot.
Of course you were.
Nice.
Because you're fabulous.
And insanely lucky. So I was happy to have a job. But I missed you guys.
Can I just tell you, I was on, where was it? The Sexy Liberal Facebook page, I think?
Yes.
Oh, with my friend Rob, showing him pictures.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of those pictures of you came up. You know.
Oh, yeah.
The barely closed ones that somebody seems to be using to exploit you and sell tickets to Sexy Liberal in some weird way. And I'm just, I haven't heard that sound out of a man. He just went,
mm-hmm.
Oh, like,
Lord.
I thought my dog was behind. I was like, what?
Oh, no.
What are you?
Oh, boy.
Just he was like,
down, boy.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, there's a sound men make about when they see a picture of Aisha that I don't, haven't quite heard that.
I've heard it right before I called the police.
When someone's trying to give you that kiss on the... Yeah. You've explained.
Oh, yeah, the
you've explained for the meet and greet. When you kiss Aisha, try not to do that thing where you don't...
Stay away from the center of the Venn diagram. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, like...
Try to not to pretend like, oh, yeah, she won't know that I'm trying to get lip.
It's like the nexus between cheek and mouth. You know,
right.
You're trying to, like, sneak over towards the mouth side. You stay on the cheek, you nasty person. Come on now.
She's got a cracker that she licks.
I do.
As she calls her husband.
My sweetie.
All right. You know what? I was able to bust out my one Chicago impression in Chicago this weekend. That's Mrs. Rod Blagojevich.
Oh.
Would you like me to get a character?
I would love it.
I have a theater degree. Hang on, everybody. Stand back. Damn, Rod. Tell him you're going to hold up that Cubs. Thank you very much.
That was
She's
excellent.
A potty mouth after my own heart.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And did she... I just saw the press conference where... He mustered up all of his false ingenuousness and, you know, faux shock.
Patty and I obviously are very disappointed in the outcome. I, frankly, am stunned. There's not much left to say other than we want to get home to our little girls and talk to them and explain things to them and then try to sort things out.
He always looks a little stunned, doesn't he? He looks a little like a Cabbage Patch doll. He's just a little, I don't know.
It's all the shoe polish in his hair. It makes him look surprised. Yes.
He always looks surprised to be in the hair helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little,
65-year-old man with 23-year-old hair. I'm confused as well.
With Meryl Osmond's hair. What? I don't know why I picked Meryl out of the group.
Yeah, the kids really know who Meryl Osmond is.
I don't
care
know
what
who
the
Meryl
kids
Osmond
know and what they
is.
Don't.
Wikipedia. I have no idea what's happening right now.
I stop caring if anyone gets my references.
It's like the kids don't know who Phyllis Schlafly is.
No, I don't care.
Oh, well, yeah, I do, only because she leaves such a bitter taste in your mouth.
I did that.
You skinned your knee, you'll never forget that.
Yeah. I mentioned her in my It Gets Better video, and the kids are like, oh, it does not get better. Who is that
who
old loser?
Is that
who is that?
Lady? Oh, yeah, clearly
that old political dinosaur.
She opened her mouth and dust and regret came out.
Okay, that was a little too close to home, my friend.
Sorry.
Crypt keeper. Open my mouth for some Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And regret. Broken dreams.
You can see those amazingly floating away on the ether.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
And you can see it in Tucson on
July 9th.
Yes.
Woohoo! Pops of broken dreams.
Dust and regret.
Dust and regret and disappointment. Yes, in case you hadn't heard the news, former Illinois Governor Rob LaGoy that found guilty on 17, yikes, corruption-related charges, including some related to his attempt to sell an appointment to President Obama's open sentencing. Guess you're not supposed to do that.
No, apparently. And I love it when, apparently the jury came back and they were talking about it afterwards. And there's always some kind of... Well, yeah. You know, it seemed as if it was this, and they were like, that dude did it, he did it, he's a slutty, trying to sell it, bad person. And
yeah, I got rousing cheers at Chicago Theater Saturday night mentioning Jan Schakowsky and Dick Durbin, and then I went, and you also have Rod Begore.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Womp, womp. Womp, womp.
Yes, I have a deep connection to Chicago, because, as you know, I left my original nose there, so.
Ah.
Left my heart in San Francisco, but my nose.
Nose in Chicago, mm-hmm. Down on the Miracle Mile.
Yeah, I sent a picture to somebody of my original nose. They thought it was Anthony Wiener's. And it's very large and disturbing.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You have an adorable nose now.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kurtz.
I can only ever imagine you adorable.
It was expensive.
Best money could pay for.
But now I'm never going to be able to go to Chicago without imagining your nose buried.
Buried
on the waterfront.
Just looming over Chicago. Like the large angry in the Woody Allen film.
On Lower Wacker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You need the whole Lower Wacker for that.
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, it was obviously a joyous big weekend for marriage equality, what with the whole new... Although, you know, I'm reading an editorial in the L.A. Times, and they're feeling droopy like me. Feeling droopy. Being
about California?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just lame. It's not even... I'm too disappointed to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, really? Well,
we will talk to Carrie Elleveld, editor of EqualityMatters.org, about all of this next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So you're drinking alone. That's one of the beginning stages of alcoholism, you know.
Oh, I am way past the beginning stages. I already hide liquor around my house and drink alone in the dark.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is that from?
I don't know.
My life.
Shano sent that to me this morning.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
34
really
minutes after the hour. See, somebody at the L.A. Times feeling exactly the way I am. Editorial in the L.A. Times yesterday. What New York means for Prop 8? Will the Empire State's decision to legalize same-sex marriage point the way forward for California? See, we're followers now. We're followers.
Oh,
yes.
God. We started being followers the minute we elected Arnold Schwarzenegger governor.
Hasta la vista, to you. We offer our heartfelt admiration and congratulations to the state of New York for becoming the... Yeah, see, it's kind of like that. Congratulations. Really happy for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the pageant girls. Oh, we're so happy for
you. Look at you.
Look at you.
You look cute.
Oh,
I'm not surprised at all that you did better than I did and faster too. Okay, fine.
For becoming the sixth state more populous than the other five put together to legalize the marriage of gay and lesbian couples, we wish joy to the newly engaged couples and the thousands upon thousands who will follow them through the years. We're celebrating, yes, but wistfully, while New York is now at the forefront of today's most important civil rights struggle, helping move the nation toward increased understanding and acceptance of same-sex marriage, California is stuck in reverse.
Yeah, we are.
Republicans, put it in R. Thanks.
New York is the Maya Rudolph, and we are the Kristen Wiig.
Thank you.
What? Marriage equality.
Oh, it's great. What's happening?
It's so great. Congratulations.
It's awesome.
So happy. Happy for you.
Then we just get drunk and jump in the chocolate fountain and
yeah.
rub dog poo in everybody's hair. Watch out. It's going to happen.
Knows I recently had have a friend that met someone. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so great. I'm really happy.
I need to make a phone call.
That's great. Today, it is New York's turn to bask in the knowledge that it has moved the entire country forward in the ongoing struggle for equal rights for all. California should learn lessons from New York's victory and quickly put itself back on the right side of history. Got a nice piece in the L.A. Times.
California is at the wedding, at New York's marriage equality wedding, in the bathroom.
We are Kristen
crying on the toilet.
We are Kristen Wiig. We're in the sink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
California, are you okay in there?
Don't look at me!
Nice!
Don't look at me!
Somebody come hold our hair!
All right. Our good friend from equalitymatters.org, Carrie Alavelle, joins us now. Good morning, Carrie.
Maureen, how are you?
I'm fine, although you'll have to hold my hair while I barf. We're feeling very jealous here in California.
Yeah. Well, I happened to be in New York on Friday night. It was sort of random, actually, and it was really amazing. There was sort of a spontaneous gathering in front of the Stonewall Inn, which I'm sure you've heard about. It was sort of surreal to be there because the first time that I started to feel a little bit like an activist was when I was a journalist covering the court decision from the New York Supreme Court. It's called the Court of Appeals there. But anyway, and that came down in 2006, and I covered that all day on adrenaline high like any good reporter, and then woke up the next day and thought, I'm truly a second class citizen. Some white haired judge, 80-year-old guy, has told me I can't get married because I can't accidentally get pregnant having sex.
Right, and I think particularly out here in California, Carrie, legally, you know, we have the pleasure of being the first place that's ever taken away rights from people that already had them, which is why it's legally even more egregious.
It's good to be on the forefront of something, isn't it?
Yes, we are number one. We are number one taking away rights from people that already have them.
I will say this, though. Your state legislature passed marriage twice. It just happened to get vetoed by the governor. So, I mean, your state legislature was sort of, you know, paving the way, and it just got overrode.
I know. And, Carrie, you know, you're right. There was an amazing, I think it was an amazing sort of moment of solidarity. It's funny, David Bender, my friend, called me. I'm in Chicago for Gay Pride, calls me, you know, my cell phone tells me immediately the marriage equality passed. I was, you know, texting with Shelley Wright, who was in New York. She's, you know, getting married in a couple of months. Daniel Sladek from PFLAG emailed me, you know, so there really was just this feeling, I think, and I know even in Chicago, the energy for Pride this year was just unbelievable, you know, so it really is a quantum leap, don't you?
Absolutely, and I think it's the first time that we've felt sort of that same solidarity since the rights were taken away in Proposition 8, with Proposition 8. I mean, that was a wave that sort of swept across, you know, queer America as well. It was the opposite way, but I feel like this is the wave coming back the other way. And you guys, of course, have had some real wins. I mean, let's not, you know, the ruling in Proposition 8, the decision from Judge Walker was, you know, obviously amazing, so gratifying. But it's
and as it turns out, friends can let friends judge gay. Who knew? I mean, Chad Griffin, my friend from out here, you know, behind the Prop 8 struggle, said there's no doubt today will be revered as a major turning point in civil rights history. Evan Wolfson from Freedom New Mary said, now that we've made it here, we'll make it everywhere. And I love Kate Kendall, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, said, game over. You know, I mean, I think that's it's, I mean, whatever you want to call it, right? Tipping point, perfect storm, whatever your choice of, you know, cliche is, right?
I agree. I wish our president would hop on the train. That's all. You know, I sat in a briefing yesterday and listened to his press secretary, Jay Carney, reiterate the states' rights argument that this should be handled by the states. And, you know, really, I mean, if you looked at, like, the Times, just to use the New York Times as one case, if you looked at the articles over the weekend from Nate Silver, from Maureen Dowd, and then the op-ed that they wrote or the editorial board wrote on Monday, I mean, he is just starting to look so inauthentic by not taking some sort of leadership. And actually, he's behind the trend lines now. I mean, we've had 5 national polls say that a majority of Americans favor same-sex marriage, and so he's actually can't even, you know, he's like, he literally would have to hop on the train. He can't be at the front of that train, you know?
Well, you know, I agree with you, Carrie, and yet, you know, Hal Sparks and I were talking about this on air the other day, that I think, you know, his speech to the gay group in New York, I mean, to me, there's almost a wink in it, like, you know, look, I'm with you, you know. But the problem is, you know, I think we've had experience with activating their crazy base, and then you end up with President Bachmann, who would, you know, speaking of states' rights, apparently isn't for that anymore now.
Right.
She would, you know, write discrimination into the Constitution if she were president.
Right. Well, she managed on Fox News Sunday to both articulate the fact that she thought that New York State had the right to do this, but then she also supports the constitutional marriage amendment.
Yeah.
So, you know, can't have it both ways. But in the same, look, I hear you.
Let me
I hear you on Obama.
Okay.
But here's what I would say. I would say, look, I really don't believe this next election is going to be decided on jobs and the economy. The people who are independents and swing voters are not going to vote for or against him based on what he believes about marriage equality. This is my opinion, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if the economy comes up a little bit, people are feeling a little bit more optimistic about putting food on the table, sending their kids to college, et cetera, he will be reelected, and it won't matter what he said about marriage equality. He may have given a wink and a nod. I was at that Thursday night a speech that he gave to the New York donors. He may very well have given a wink and a nod, but that may be what the White House wants us to think. But I personally, I'm not sure he's going to be a two-term president. I'm not convinced.
Well, you know, Paul Begala said we've had an 8-point erosion in our performance among gay Americans. We need to do something to energize this base. You know, and this certainly would be it. But, you know, the other thing someone else pointed out is that poll was before Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA. You know, I mean, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, I'm sort of the mind, too, that we obviously made more progress on gay rights under this president, not even in a full term, than we have in all of the other ones combined. I mean, that's got to be somewhat significant, isn't it?
It is significant. And, you know, it's funny, all the stuff that we're talking about is I put in my piece, Can Obama Bridge the Enthusiasm Gap, that's on our site right now. I mean, here's what I worry about. I feel like whenever a president comes across as inauthentic, that's a real problem. And I don't think people really believe this articulation that Barack Obama, you know, sort of our biggest leap forward in terms of civil rights in this country, really believes in a states' rights argument. It's really preposterous in many ways.
Well, here's Hillary Clinton yesterday.
The historic vote in New York, which I think gives such visibility and credibility to everything that so many of you have done over so many years.
But, you know, again, still stopping short of saying, you know, yes, I'm for marriage equality. Do you think the president is going to go there or not?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he should. I don't. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, look, he's got another chance. Here's what I say. If he doesn't do it before the end of this year, he's definitely not going to do it, because he's not going to come out in 2012 and do it. Like, I just can't imagine that. So he's got some more chances between now and then. I mean, maybe there's some court rulings that come down and he's able to piggyback off that, or, you know, whatever. He also is hosting a Pride event at the White House tomorrow. So, you know, who knows? I mean, and hope springs eternal, but. You know, I'm worried about his base, and not just gays and lesbians. Arguably, the LGBT community has gotten more out of this president than almost any other progressive constituency. If you look at immigration, you look at labor, you look at reproductive rights, you know, you go down the line, those constituencies have gotten almost nothing but in reverse.
I'm worried
about the enthusiasm.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I'm reading, you know, these senators Mark Grisanti and Stephen Saland, I don't know if I'm saying those right, are the two Republicans that came on last minute in New York. And, you know, to get flanked on the left by Republicans. And, you know, you read their statements. Grassani said, I cannot legally come up with an argument against same-sex marriage. Who am I to say that someone does not have the same rights I have with my wife, who I love, or to have the 1,300-plus rights I share with her?
Yeah.
The other senator said, struggling with my traditionalist view of marriage and my deep-rooted values to treat all people with respect as equals, I believe after deliberation I'm doing the right thing in voting to support marriage equality. So, I mean, and I think the other significant thing in New York, right, is a lot of the donors to the Republican Party are either gay or have gay sons or daughters or, you know, I mean, and that's what's happened, right? This has become a human issue now, not even partisan.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there have been multiple reports now of people going back and asking, you know, people like Mayor Bloomberg, why were you on board? And he said, well, you know, my niece. And, you know,
right.
I mean, like you go down the line and every one of those, you know, Frank Bruni in his piece in the Sunday Times said that there was a poll, and I didn't see this poll, but there's so many people who are out now and talk about it, that there was a nationwide poll like a month or two ago that found that Americans believe that about 25% of the population is queer.
Look at you cackling.
Like
an old Leslie witch. Look at you cackling over your cauldron of gay.
I wish I could wave my magic wand and make that true, because the dating options would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I hear in all the magazines, glossy magazines, that apparently girls are lining up for me now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told, anyway.
Exactly. I hear that too, Stephanie.
Yeah. Gotta take a number. Yeah, I mean, it has. It's led to the impression that, you know.
Is everybody gay?
Yes, the answer is yes. All right. Carrie Elleveld of EqualityMatters.org. Always so great to check in with you. We'll talk again soon.
Great to talk.
All right. Don't cross our lines. Let's not cross our lines of women. It's like crossing the streams. Don't do it. Oh, she's cackling. The gay cauldron.
I think that is a good perception, because I think the more that people are aware of the fact that gay people are not this tiny marginalized group in our society, the more.
Well, I was commenting on that when we were watching the Pride Parade in Chicago. It's, you know, that used to be the right wing perception. Oh, it's just a bunch of lunatic freaks. And it was such a big, joyous, you know, diverse group of people in that parade. It's you know, I mean, you had literally every age, color, you know, a lot of the straight allies, a lot of, you know, just, and the other thing we were commenting on is every single politician was marching in that parade.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when you couldn't even be seen to be supportive of this little marching in a gay parade?
At Philly Pride, it was like the two state, like the senator, like representatives from the state Congress, the mayor, you know, I mean, and it's so funny to see these kind of old, I mean, they all look like my father-in-law, you know, like these old kind of portly, you know, Catholic guys that are graying and look a little confused. And they've got their rainbow lanyards on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're there.
I mean,
you know what I mean? They're there and they're connecting with the community, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
And that's the thing, is like there's Rahm Emanuel out in front, and then Jen Schakowsky, I thought, was going to do back handsprings.
Yeah.
She was jumping, waving, and just, you know, they're not just there. They're happy to be there.
Yeah, they're happy to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. You know, the one thing I think is going to be compelling is, you know, talking about the lack of enthusiasm specifically in the LGBT community for this president. I don't know how you muster enthusiasm for the opposition.
Well, and
we'll
talk about the opposition in a moment, who... God bless her heart. Bless her heart.
You're
she
being
declared
so
yesterday.
Kind. Just now, she just declared.
Are you talking about the
she
John
makes
Wayne
my
thing?
Face
oh
hurts.
Yes.
Oh, the John
bless
Wayne
her
thing.
Heart.
Oh,
48 minutes.
We'll tell you what that is.
48 minutes after the hour. Right back. Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the Office and Professional Employees International Union, AFL-CIO.
Yes.
It pays to belong. Woohoo! Union. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere on Tuesdays with Tyler, Andy in Wisconsin on marriage equality. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I was talking with the gal that answered the phone, and I guess I'm just trying to balance out in my own mind the aspect of I'm ambivalent on gay marriage. Mm-hmm. I always get this thing of, well, what would you do if your children were gay? And I say, well, listen, men can love one another, women love one another. I mean, it's been like that for eons. Where it ties into the Bible is the aspect of sodomy. Okay. Everybody can love one another, but
what about straight people that have anal sex?
I gotta tell you, I think straight people have engage in more sodomy than gay people do.
Listen, she's speaking as a straight person.
Speaking on behalf of my people.
That's the point. I guess is all of this activity without sex? It sort of sounded like the gal that you had on earlier wasn't real. She says, well, there's not. It sort of implies there's not sex in these marriages. Gay marriages.
What?
So, sir, what are you proposing? Maybe we just have butt police so that nobody's having that particular kind of sex, straight or gay, or what's your...
You're also implying that marriage, like couples, straight and gay, have sex without being married. Getting married isn't about the sex. Getting married is about a committed, loving, supportive relationship where both people in the couple have legal protections and other protections for their families.
Right.
It has nothing to do with sex.
It's about who
person knows that you get married to stop having sex.
Seriously. Yeah.
And it's about who you come home to and eat dinner with. It's about the relationship.
And
it's not just about
respecting
sex.
And also the community respecting your relationship and treating it like it's been...
Go
okay.
ahead, Andy. Sorry.
All right.
We didn't mean to...
Yeah, you know, I'll work out. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's important. You know, Stephanie, I think it's more important to get that across to people.
Get what across, sir?
Well, get just what you said across. I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding, okay, among many, many millions of people as to what does this all imply. And what you just said should be made more of a
highlight. Why is it your business what it implies or what somebody does in their bedroom?
No, what it implies, what you just said, basically you want to have the quality of rights, those things.
Right. Andy, I'm confused by this call, but I appreciate your thoughts.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Straight people think that, I guess gay relationships are just about sex. They don't realize that it's about the relationship.
I don't get the whole...
And sex is just one part of it.
Wait, what was I saying? I got the wrong music. What are y'all doing there? I don't get...
He did seem like he was struggling. He was straining against his limitations to understand what was going on.
What are you doing in your bedroom? Straining.
But it sounds like at the end he kind of came around to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys need to put that out there more.
You might need to put that on a website or post that on Twitter. who knows? Maybe we're pulling the old progressive. Well, of course everybody knows what's going on. I mean, why wouldn't you understand what's happening if you read or thought or spent any time using your brain?
Oh, boy. All right. By the way, I just love this story because, you know, sometimes there's some heated arguments in families these days, particularly over politics. I know there is in mine. However, I'm not this family. Cops, man, tasers relatives over pool table. We also were talking about people touching your stuff. Bremerton, Washington. Police say a man used a taser on two visiting relatives in a family argument in Bremerton. He lives with his mother, who was reportedly angry they put a suitcase on his pool table.
Oh.
He said he stunned one woman in self-defense after she hit him on the head with a wooden bellows.
A wooden bellows?
But you don't hear that story every day.
I am going to beat you with this butter churn. I swear to God.
Do people have bellows anymore?
They do. Is that the fireplace thing? What is that?
Yeah. Blacksmiths used to use it.
And then I'm going to lock you in the coal scullery.
I will taser you if you hit me a bellows.
The coal scullery.
You will be locked in the coal scullery. That a crust of bread for you, sir. What is happening?
Smack you with a gravy boat if you...
Unbelievable.
I just love that story. All right, things haven't gotten that bad for me just yet. All right. 58.
I just imagine you walking into the next Thanksgiving gathering.
With the bellows.
With the bellows.
Just by way of warning.
Smacking a bellows in your hand. Who wants a piece of this?
58 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
Stephanie Miller Show. Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler,
hey!
In the house, everybody.
So happy to be here.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. SexyLiberal.com, the Facebook page for the Sexy Liberal Show. Aisha Tyler joins the tour. Woo-hoo! In August, Santa Fe, August 6th, and then, yeah, you heard right, August 20th, Detroit.
Start your engines, Detroit. Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the Motor City.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy teeth.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. And up next, Tucson, July 9th, and Boston, July 16th, with Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang and I. Okay. Very exciting. This was, from Peter in Libertyville. Sexy Liberals Rock Chicago. What an amazing night. Not only are you guys hilarious, I got a hug from Steph and danced with my jet-lagged wife. Peggy laughed all night long. She paid the highest compliment on her way home, and she said, they seem like really nice people. Oh, no.
Computer says no.
No. But that was, we fake it really well, Peggy, but that's a sweet thought. The only downside is I won her heart by being witty, funny, and very well-versed in history, theology, and politics. What the hell does she need with me after meeting John Fugelsang? Yeah, I know. Sucks to be you.
Ooh, ouch.
Sucks to be you now. Mm. Guys that, whose wives meet Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. It's the downside of sexy liberal.
I just imagine those guys winking at your special lady friend, and then like a little ting comes off their tooth, a little glint. Yeah, exactly.
I bet you a lot of wives at the Sexy Liberal Show that you're going to be at in Santa Fe and Detroit are going to be like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at, honey?
I'm going to wear
nothing, honey. It's her jokes. I'm going to watching. Wear she's funny.
American flag burqa.
Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
I'm recovering from my slapstick injuries. I didn't make it yesterday. I had a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down my pants in Chicago. A little, some
she shot herself in the face with her own lapel flower.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Whee! All right. So, obviously, the big story you were talking about yesterday is this really is unbelievable. Judge Prosser, who, by the way, I think actually was voted out, if you weren't counting the magical votes that were hidden up that
magical
woman's
oh,
arse.
Oh, you conspiracy theorist. That could never happen.
I yeah. switched purses.
This is America.
And I forgot there were all these votes in my other purse.
Oh, my God. What I know.
And they're all for
Prosser. My money in your purse. I found these votes.
And they're all for Prosser.
So
every
weird.
Single one of them. That's bizarre.
Seriously. So, and the female, do you think he has problems with women a little bit? I don't know. I was sensing a little, some mommy issues, something.
Well, bad.
So, literally, she's confirming he choked her.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so let's talk to my favorite legal animus, as I call him, Ian Millhiser of the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. How's it going, Stephanie?
Good. Well, this story, you thought you heard wrong when you first heard it, but three knowledgeable sources alleged that Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser grabbed fellow Justice Ann Walsh Bradley around the neck during an argument, you know, when you just want to really drive your point home.
Yes,
you start
exactly.
to choke off someone's air.
Sure.
Last March, he referred to Chief Justice Abramson, another woman, as a total bitch while threatening to destroy her.
Wow.
Ian, what is this? What's the term for this? Is it beyond judicial misconduct? Are we? I mean, what happens now?
Yeah, you know, I have been watching judges behave badly for a really long time, but I never thought a judge might be the Wisconsin strangler.
Yes, unless he strangled her with a penis pump. I haven't seen such a case of judicial misconduct in quite some time. I mean, so what happens now? Honestly.
Well, so what's going to there's two investigations going on right now. One is the police investigation. The sheriff's department is investigating this. And, you know, I should point out, as much as I don't like Justice Prosser's politics, that doesn't take away his presumption of innocence. So I'm willing
sure.
to let that investigation go on. But what he's accused of is a really serious crime. Threatening a judge is a felony. It's punishable by 6 years in prison. And I think that, you know, when you put your hands around someone's neck, you're clearly implying that you might squeeze them. You know, that's a real threat. So if this turns out to be true, he could be in jail for several years. And then, you know, there's several remedies that could take place. You know, ideally, if this is true, he should resign. But I would hope that if it comes to the point where he needs to be impeached, that if there's one thing that we could reach bipartisan consensus on, even now in this era, it's that judges shouldn't lay hands on other judges. You know, if we can't reach bipartisan consensus on that, then I think we might be done as a country.
Well, yeah, I mean, and she obviously is on record as saying the facts are I was demanding that he get out of my office, and he put his hands around my neck in anger in a chokehold. So Prosser so far has made a blanket denial but refuses to discuss it.
He has an unusual denial. You know, his claim is that she charged after him, and
sure.
He put up his hand to defend himself, and they just slipped and wound up on his neck.
On her neck.
So, take that as you will.
Well, yeah, when he previously had exploded at Chief Justice Shirley Abramson and called her a bitch, that, you know, this had that incident threatened to destroy her, Prosser admitted, quote-unquote, at that incident, he probably overreacted, but said his outburst was entirely warranted.
I mean, because she was a total bitch. I mean, apparently. It's like, what? How do you expect me to react?
I really don't know what to make of this guy. You know, I'm going to let the police investigation play out, and there's also a judicial misconduct investigation going on. But, you know, after, you know, the first accusation, you think, okay, whatever. But after there's been a few of these in the hopper, you start to wonder what's up with this guy.
Well, in Greta Van Susteren, I'm sure you heard, she had a really odd reaction. She called for Chief Justice Shirley Abramson to step down, not Prosser. She said something about she needs to step aside and let someone else attempt to run that zoo. So apparently it's her fault because she is the aforementioned total bitch.
She had it coming.
Yeah.
Judge
Prosser almost strangled another judge.
Yes. You can't handle your justices. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
She actually went even further today. She apparently also called for Bradley, the person who was allegedly strangled, to step down as well.
Sure. I mean, for getting her neck in the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at what the right is saying, I mean, to their credit, you know, the Scott Walkers of the world have figured out that they can't rise up and say, oh, yeah, I think it's just fine that a conservative judge decided to put his hands around the neck of a liberal judge. But what they are saying is they seem to be trying to make this into a pox on all their houses sort of thing, where, you know, Scott Walker said, oh, this shows that the whole court is dysfunctional. The president of the Senate also, you know, had a similar comment. We said, well, you know, at least the court is more dysfunctional than the legislature. So they seem to have decided that their best talking point is rather than, try to defend what, if this is true, is an indefensible action, to just play this off as, oh, you know, all people are guilty. Some people say nasty things and other people, you know, try to choke a judge.
Mistakes were made in the passive. You, in your piece, Ian, you cite five outcomes: resignation, impeachment, removal by address, or recall. Which of those do you think seems most likely, if any?
Again, I would hope that if this turns out to be true, you know, resignation would be the obvious choice. You know, I would also hope that, you know, like I said, there could be a bipartisan consensus here that, you know, this is not a way that judges should act. This is also Wisconsin. You know, this is Scott Walker land. So, you know, the good news in Wisconsin is that recall is an option for any government official. And so if someone goes very far off the pale, there's a way to remove them. The bad news with respect to recall is that judges have a one-year, anyone who's elected has a one-year grace period. So if the people of Wisconsin decide to invoke that process, Prosser was just, you know, reelected. So he has a year before he can be recalled.
Mm, okay, interesting. Let me do a quick one. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed Monday to decide if the FCC's policy banning fleeting expletives uttered on broadcast TV is a free speech violation. As someone who just uttered one yesterday on my show when I called into it when I took a day off, I had to be dumped on my own show. Now, what do you think is going to happen with this?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, and I think it's actually a more difficult question than it sounds, because, you know, you would think with the conservative Supreme Court, they'd want to be the speech police, but we just had a 7-2 decision come down yesterday, the violent video games decision, which said that violent video games are protected free speech, and that a law preventing children from playing violent video games does not stand. So I really think this could go either way. You know, the original reasoning behind the decisions allowing the regulation of the airwaves was that the airwaves belong to the public. You know, there is, we have to regulate the space somehow because there is an unlimited bandwidth. And so because they belong to the public, the government can regulate them more than they normally could under the First Amendment.
Okay. Ian, quickly, before you go, because we're running out of time here, I got to get your take on the marriage equality, vote in New York and what that's going to mean, you think, legally across the country.
Well, I mean, I think it's a tremendous victory, and I think that, you know, gay rights is obviously one of those things that snowballs, because as people have more interactions with gay people, they realize they aren't scary monsters who've come to destroy their marriage, and as the law becomes...
It's becoming a big gay snowball avalanche. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that was the wrong word for me to use there. But, you know, as people have more contact with gay couples, they realize that they're just like everyone else. And as the law becomes friendlier and friendlier to gay couples, more gay couples feel comfortable, you know, being out and being proud and being them, you know, fully engaged members of society. And so I think that the two, it produces a virtuous cycle. Whereas one, as the laws become better, it makes people more favorable to gay people, which makes the laws better.
Right. As I think someone sent me an e-card that we should be entitled to the same sexless drudgery in the suburbs as anyone else.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Ian Melanzer of the Center for American Progress. Spectacular as always. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. There he goes. Yeah, why not? Sexless suburban drudgery. Woohoo. 18 minutes.
Yay!
Yay! 18 minutes after the hour. Back, surprisingly, some people want to respond to the befuddled straight man. On the marriage equality as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, that's me. I am the diva.
Diva!
You better roll out the red carpet.
Diva!
Cause here I come.
It's almost as if there is some reason to be playing lots of gay music.
Mm. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Carrie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Hey, I may not have seen it, but last night on the Ed Show, they had a good debate between Al Sharpton and the guy from for defense of man and woman marriage, non-gay marriage, and anyway,
non-gay marriage. Okay.
Yeah, non-gay marriage. Now, I know that you always talk about your father. I assume you have a grandfather and grandmother and so on.
Yeah, I assume that I did. Yeah.
Right.
Somebody must
have
made my father. Yeah.
You do know them.
No, actually three of my grandparents were dead before I was born, and I knew my mom's mom.
Okay,
yeah.
I was kind of like that too.
But she's been
anyway,
gone for many years too. What's your point?
Like I assume when you and your girlfriend get married.
Well,
are
I don't.
You
first
children?
Of all, that's fictional right there. I don't have a girlfriend.
Okay, well,
all right.
Assume you will.
But I understand.
You will get married eventually, right?
No, you think so? Okay, just kidding. Oh my God, really? You're my best friend now.
I don't want to put you on this spot and put
right.
your girlfriend. But I assume you'll get married eventually.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Are you talking about Aisha? Aisha's straight and married.
I don't know.
Oh, do you just assume because a woman's on the air with me that she must be gay? Is that what you...
No, I don't at all. I thought you had a girlfriend.
I don't.
You're gay.
Yes,
since
I am gay.
I am gay. Girlfriend since you're gay. You know how the gays
eventually.
Are with all these girlfriends.
Just not practicing.
I'm a single, childless loser.
But eventually you're going to get married to her.
I don't have a girlfriend,
no,
sir.
Okay,
why
let's
are
say someone else. You're going to get married. Since you'll now be able to get married, you're going to get married, right?
if someone would ever, if I could even get a date, I guess. Hypothetically,
but
yes.
I guess I don't know that the desire to get married is higher in the gay community. I think it's equivalently high in the gay and straight community.
I think actually there's a better chance I'm going to die alone and be eaten by my dog, sir.
No, no.
But what's your point?
That's from working out too much.
What?
That's from working out. You know?
I work out too much?
Well, you are a good workout person.
So what's your point?
You've been hanging around Stephanie's house.
You know, this conversation is really...
I think he's trying to insult you, but it's not really working.
Wait, I work out too much, so that's why I'm single?
Let's go back around to the first point. Do you have a great...
No, I want to understand what you mean about that I work out too much. How do you know how much I work out?
This is going to be great. You're going to make a point. Let's figure out what the grandmother point is, because I'm very curious now.
Peaked.
All right. This goes back to, you know who your grandmother and grandfather are. Let's say that you get married in the future, whether
yes,
you do or
assuming
not.
That they were alive.
And you two want to have children, okay? Mm-hmm. So you adopt or whatever.
Yes, whatever.
I assume that. Well, I mean, I'm just wondering how it'll work out with gay couples in the future. For, you know, will you know who your grandparents are? How will it work?
Wait, what? Wait, what? What? Well,
so. You adopt.
So if you okay, so
I'm gonna. Grandparents
can
are.
I? So I'm straight, and I've been married for 17 years.
Yes.
And if I adopted, would my kids know who their grandparents were?
If you both adopted, if you want to have two children, if you're both women and wanted to have children. Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to understand how critical your point is, because you see, you would want my children to have the same right to have dead grandparents that they didn't know either, that were dead before they were born, just like I did, and I'll be depriving them of that right?
No, I think growing up with your grandparents, knowing your grandparents.
Well, my grandparents were dead before I was born, so what does that say? Is that why I'm gay?
That's why you're necessarily gay. Normal.
Okay,
I mean,
thank
a
you.
Lot of people
All
do,
right.
A lot of people do know their grandparents.
All right, well, maybe that's why I'm gay. All right, I'm just kidding. Okay. My head hurts.
I
got a head.
One set of grandparents, does that make me happy?
I would be insulted if I wasn't so confused.
My brain is in a hammock now, because I need
right?
a little rest.
He gets to, and a, like, just, that made no sense at all. None.
I don't, all right.
I'm going to go do the math.
Maybe someone will do a study now.
Solve for X.
It may be the lack of grandparents
so
that caused mine.
So if your blood type is AB negative and your partner is O, then your grandparents would be gay. I mean, it's only logical.
I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to Rob in Minneapolis.
Sense.
Rob in Minneapolis, hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I had a question about the term civil unions versus marriage.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering why civil union seems to be sort of repugnant to the gay marriage people.
Because it's separate but equal.
Well, that's just a phrase.
Well, it's a phrase that for instance, my friend Aisha here is married to a white man. Can you imagine when we allowed white people to marry black people, we said we're not going to call it marriage like your real people. We're going to call it
flargon.
Yes.
Or flern.
Flern. We're going to call it Coco Moco marriage.
Today's show's weird, just the way I like it. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pierce on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You know,
Stephanie Miller.
I'd rather hear a dry fart from a wet dog than another one of your stars.
That made more sense than that last caller.
Aisha, we were saying we would have had a better comeback if we could have, you know, pieced his together to figure out what he was even
if we could
saying.
Have mushed all that crap together into a cogent idea, we would have zinged ya.
Yeah, we would have bam.
But we couldn't figure out what was happening. I felt cold and alone the whole time.
I did too. Very scary.
So confusing.
all about grandparents, apparently. That's why you can't have the gays, because the kids won't know the grandparents.
So if you're straight and you have children and your grandparents you are jackasses.
You need those cranky Walton grandparents right? or something in order to grow up.
Grandparents have a wet dog. Properly.
Makes no sense.
All right. Let's, you know what? We laid that at Charlie Pierce's.
There's only one man now that understands.
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Hello, Charlie Pierce.
What in God's name is happening there today?
I don't know. I'm tired.
Them out. They're all out. They're loose.
I, you know what? You know what's weird though. I was in Chicago,
it's
as
like
you know.
It's like feeding time at the Wingnut Seal Tank.
The woodwork has been flung open.
I was in
the woodwork is empty.
I was in Chicago, as you know, for Sexy Liberal and for Gay Pride, broadcasting the parade. And I don't know if you knew that, but there were like 25 floats vandalized, all the tires slashed.
Really?
I mean, this is what happens when gay rights moves forward. There's always going to be backlash.
You know what's really interesting was that at Philly Pride. I kind of was expecting there to be somebody, something, just one angry hobo, you know what I mean, or like a streaking teenager, and there was nothing, but, you know, it's right, but when there's a backlash, there's always a couple of people that, you know.
Well, Charlie, you know, but I think it was Jen.
Don't they secure the floats before the parade? I mean, that's what the Macy's people do. They lock them up and put men with guns around them.
Yeah, well, you would think. I mean, it's interesting.
It's only the Hets that are feeling so creepy and scared like that.
But I think, you know, Congresswoman Schakowsky made a point that, you know, she was laughing about the fact that as the, you know, years have gone on, the little protesters have gotten sadder and sadder. A couple of little pathetic guys on Halstead just,
The Archbishop of New York was like, I feel down. I feel blue.
But I mean, they've become the scorned minority now.
The fringe. Yeah.
Yeah. How's it feel?
Or as we like to call them around my house, the Republican base.
Yay!
I love that we all cheered at once on that one.
Yay!
You gotta work on the harmonies a little bit.
I think
Chris was a little flat.
Sorry.
Does Chris even have a microphone anymore?
No.
He might take it away.
His manly, thunderous voice carries.
Sounds like you and Aisha have him in the basement like the two sisters from Arsenic and Old Lace.
He's the James in our giant peach.
Yeah, when a professional shows up, then Chris loses his microphone. When we have a choice.
He's lost his place in the studio. I have this feeling he's outside of one of those window washer gondolas banging on the window.
All right, Charlie, let's relive the magic together. Take a listen.
My name is Michelle Bachman. I stand here in the midst of many friends and many family members to announce formally my candidacy for President of the United States.
Oh, wow.
I cannot tell you how many human sacrifices I'm going to make to Big Baby Jeebus today because of this. I'm telling you, this is a great moment in America.
Well, listen, for comedy.
What? Oh, are you kidding?
For comedy, let's start with this. Here we go.
Well, what I want them to know is just like John Wayne was from Waterloo, Iowa, that's just the kind of spirit that I have, too.
John Wayne Gacy? Yeah.
Yes, John Wayne Gacy is the one that's from Water.
She'll be doing a press conference in a crawl space in Cicero next week.
Yes, she had another little the historically challenged Bachman. Called Waterloo the birthplace of, and it was John Wayne Gacy, of course, the notorious serial killer who murdered 33 teenage boys and young men. So
painted some really bad art.
Yeah,
let's not forget that crime.
How do we figure that? This did some staffer just, you know, use the Google badly?
Google.
You know, like Google John Wayne and saw like John Wayne in boldface and didn't notice the Gacy next to it.
Well, you know,
so I've got something for the candidate to say.
he comes up breathless. I've got an index card. I've got one last index card. We need to use this. Get it. Rush it to her immediately.
Like broadcast news. Get this to her moments before air.
Breaking news.
Charlie, I mean,
write anything on this card and she'll say it. Watch.
The problem is she just is. I mean, someone was saying she really is just a chronic habitual liar.
Yep.
And the problem is the media just never calls her out on it. She, you know, this L.A. Times story that ran, she obviously personally benefited from earmarks and et cetera, government pork, and then she just falsely claims, no, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Not a thing.
She is as formidable a combination of crazy and stupid as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, people used to dismiss Alan Keyes because he was nuts. Alan Keyes is James Madison compared to this woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, This is a congresswoman from Wonderbread, Minnesota, who doesn't have a single legislative accomplishment to her name either in the state legislature or in the Congress of the United States, and she's going to run for president. Why? Because she got up on Hardball a few years ago and said something stupid. That's the entire basis of her campaign.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, once again, we were talking about we've been talking about marriage equality. I mean, what's scary is, you know, right now she's neck and neck with Romney in the Iowa poll. And yesterday she said she would support a federal constitutional amendment which would overturn New York's new law legalizing gay marriage.
But I do believe in states' rights.
She would write discrimination into the Constitution. Federal law will trump state law on this issue. She said her support for states' rights as well as a federal amendment was entirely consistent.
No, it's not. You cannot have a constitutional amendment that doesn't apply to some states.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I didn't go to the Oral Roberts School of Law like she did, but I'm fairly sure that there isn't like an amendment, you know, like on the cans of soda, applicable only in Massachusetts, New York, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Also, if you have a gay marriage, you can get a nickel back in those states. That's right.
Also, at the Oral Roberts School of Law, they teach you that the Bible was written in 1912, right after Jesus came down and wrote the first 14 amendments of the Constitution and made black people whole, black people two-thirds of a person.
Right.
And they repealed the booze law.
I was going to save this
well,
for
see, that was a good one, by the way.
Repealed prohibition, absolutely.
Hello.
How could we live here with people like her without booze?
Yeah, thank you. Hello. I was going to save this for Right Wing World, but since Aisha brought it up, we have to listen to Evil Uncle Chuckles, Pat Robertson, on marriage equality.
I think we need to remember the term sodomy came from a town that was known as Sodom, and Sodom was destroyed by God Almighty, and the thing that they practiced was homosexual activity, and even they tried to rape angels who came down there. So that's the kind of people they were. And he sent an angel down there, and he said to Lot and his family, get out now, because I'm going to destroy this whole area. So we're heading that way as a nation. And in history, there's never been a civilization ever in history that has embraced homosexuality and turned away from traditional fidelity, traditional marriage, traditional child rearing, and has survived.
Well, Greece is still there as long as.
And to be fair,
the problem is, Pat, is that you died like 3 days ago.
Seriously. And to be fair, they were really hot angels. Let's just get that out of the way. Those angels were good looking.
Those angels wanted it.
I mean, those angels were. You know, they didn't have any pants on. You know what I mean? Come on, you're running around in that little loincloth with the arrow and the wings.
You try to start something with an angel, you can get your ass kicked.
Seriously.
I mean, angels are tough. Angels like melt cities and stuff.
Yeah, they got brimstone and stuff.
Plus, there isn't enough roofie in the world to get Angel in the
movie. But, you know, I mean, I actually kind of love the way this is there. Really.
By the way, what did they do in Gomorrah? I feel really bad for
them. Exactly. Yeah, they seem like stragglers. Sluggish. They're a little left out.
They seem like they just got thrown into the mix, and they don't even have a sin named after them.
Yeah.
It sort of rhymes with gonorrhea, I guess.
Yes.
Mm. What is Gomorrah? Just laying around, being jealous of Sodom.
Gomorrah-less.
Right. Yeah, like, Gomorrah's like the younger brother. Everybody loves Sodom.
And they're the Marsha Brady of
Sodom's the captain of the football team. Yeah.
They're the Jan Brady of the Bible.
Everybody just wants to be Gomorrah's friend.
Yes.
Sodom.
All the time, Sodom.
The Mesopotamian Brady Bunch.
Ah, boy. So, what do you call it? Here we go again in the, the debt ceiling and yada yada. I mean, did you see this CBO report? Here's a chart. If Congress does nothing, the deficit will disappear. The forecast presents another opportunity to remind people the medium-term budget outlook is perfectly fine. If Congress adheres to the laws it's currently written, it means no repealing the health care law, for one, but more significantly, it means allowing the Bush tax cuts to expire. And here we go with this, and the mainstream media buys it. No, we're in crisis, and we got to.
Okay, now it's time for me to get everybody upset and say the White House is buying it too.
Yep.
Yeah.
The White House is buying this. The White House has bought into this frame. My attitude towards the debt is screw the debt. Basically, I don't care about the debt. Nobody out there cares about the debt.
They care about jobs. That's
they
right.
They care about don't. Mm-hmm. You know what they care about? The fact that they can't buy they can't buy their kids new shoes because they don't have a job and nobody seems to be representing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
why is the default position of the Democratic Party right now? Okay, we tried. To heck with you guys. Go ahead, do what you have to do. You're not going to get anything from these people that you want to give without giving up something you don't want to give up. $500 million in Medicare cuts wasn't enough. Tom Coburn had to leave the room.
Yeah, in a huff.
He was so offended by it.
Yeah.
You can't negotiate with these people. Stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So
what, speaking of, all alternatives on the other side, Republican-wise, I mean, everybody keeps, now the articles are all, don't laugh at Bachman, you got to take her seriously. I mean, how is this going to play out? She literally is neck and neck with Romney.
Well, yeah, but I think that the despite the best efforts of Ed, I used to buy preachers wholesale Rollins on her behalf. I think that the people who are really powerful in the Republican Party are looking at this going, okay, fine, you can have Iowa, and then we're going to crush you like a grape.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the rapidity with which that John Wayne Gacy thing got around yesterday, that's an indication.
Yeah.
I mean, because
yeah.
that wasn't all liberal bloggers throwing that around.
Yeah.
I guarantee
she'll
it.
She'll hang herself.
Chris Wallace said, are you a flake?
Yeah, right. And then he apologized.
Yeah.
It wasn't really incisive journalism. You know what I mean? Is that the most probing question you can ask a candidate? Are you a flake? I mean, I don't even, do people even use the word flake? What year is it?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I have to step in here now as the official sports correspondent of the Stephanie Miller Show. Flake is a very specific term. It comes from baseball, and basically it means an interesting person. A guy who doesn't conform to the boring, stultifying, miserable, patriarchal world of baseball tradition. It's a very honorable term.
Hmm.
It means, as Jim Bouton said, baseball players wear Nehru jackets 3 years after they went out of style. a flake in baseball is somebody like Bill Lee,
mm-hmm.
the crazy spaceman, the left-handed pitcher for the Red Sox, who said he sprinkled marijuana on his pancakes. That's a flake. It's a very honorable term. What Michelle Bachman is a nut.
That's different. It's a different cereal entirely.
I mean, I think Chris Wallace should have asked her, do you still think the census data is going to be used to round people up?
Yeah, exactly. And any number of other statements. Charlie Pierce, always a pleasure. See you next week.
It's been fun. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Charming fellow.
All right.
Charming and intelligent.
46 minutes.
Where do you get off?
6 minutes after the hour, right? 46 minutes after the hour. I confuse people. Back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
Woo!
In full force. Stephen has written us a little song. Gomorrah, Gomorrah, I love ya, Gomorrah, you're only a gay away.
Oh, I really enjoyed
Thank you, actually.
That was lovely.
Thank you, Stephen.
All right. That's charming.
Yeah, I think we've been really confused by the caller earlier that said something about gays shouldn't be gay because you need to know your grandparents or
whatever.
Something.
Three
of my grandparents were dead before I was born, and one we didn't speak to a lot.
And then there was that one.
And I didn't know her, not so good. Not so much. Oh, boy. Let's see. Susan writes, hey, Steph, let me get this straight. In order to be given equal rights, you have to have biological grandparents so you can know them. Since gay parents may have donors, they should not be allowed to get married and have families. All of my grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. I grew up with zero. Am I allowed to breed? No, apparently.
According to confused guy in hatchback on highway. No.
All right.
Yeah. What? I mean, also, like, to be serious for a minute, like, for example, my sister-in-law adopted a kid. So,
right.
And my family, like, on her side, the parents are dead. Her parents are dead. They died of natural causes.
Right.
And so now, like, what is the kid? Like,
yes.
So then she should
She's
be able to have
gay,
a child,
obviously.
And she, or the kid's going to be gay, or maybe the neighbors
right.
are going to come over and hug the kid, then they're going to catch the gay.
Yes. Exactly.
Or we're going to have a gay Thanksgiving dinner, and the turkey's going to have rainbow little feet on. What's happening?
By the way, that earlier story was not about gay people hitting people with bellows. It was straight people were hitting each other with
the
bellows.
The crazy hets and their madness.
Peter in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say how much my wife and I absolutely love your show, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And we're huge fans of Aisha.
Oh, thank you.
We've been watching you for years.
Yay.
Well, I'm a guy in a hatchback, but I'd like to say something sane about gay marriage. First of all, last I looked, the government was we the people for the people, and I think the people have decided that gay marriage is perfectly fine, and I think our politicians need to catch up with it.
Yeah.
And I actually think, I mean, I'm very glad with what Obama has already done. I think it's great that he's, but I actually think that if he's stronger in his rhetoric, if he's stronger in his support, I actually think it's it helps pave his way to re-election. And the reason I say that is
well, and also, he knows the law. And frankly, I think, you know, we learned that out here in California. You just, we have never put minority rights to a majority vote in this country. They should not be subject to a vote.
Our fundamental structure is set up to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority.
Thank
vote.
You.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm in an interracial marriage myself.
Me
and
too.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And I also think that the reason is very simple. And if you look at American history and all of its greatness and ugliness. At the end of the day, the racist, the bigots, the misguided always lose.
I don't know what you're referring to, sir. If you listen to noted historian Michelle Bachmann, the founding fathers ended slavery.
Yeah, well, she's a different kind of crazy, and that's what I mean. Let's take her ideas and put them away and in a lockbox with, like, things like, you know, putting leeches on when we have, you know, fevers and all those
leeches.
Ideas.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And I think we can say, actually, definitively, that a majority of Americans believe that gay people should have marriage equality.
I think gay people should be allowed to marry leeches.
Thank you, Jen. Chris writes, you know, there just aren't enough good old-fashioned bellows beatings anymore. Kids today don't even know how to swing a fireplace and iron.
I love old-timey words.
Hey, Cracky?
I'm going to hit you with my butter urn.
Churn.
Churn.
Churn. Not
churn.
Urn. Butter urn?
Churn.
She keeps her butter
maybe
in urn.
The ashes of butters that I previously loved.
She had her grandparents in her urn. She cleared them out. She put the butter in.
How do you know what I mean, Jim?
And that's why she can't have children.
Sure. The butter urn.
Will in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hi,
Will.
I was going to say a joke about how I have a perfectly good right to get married that I would give to some nice gay couple.
Yes.
But after listening to some of these crazy people, I'm thinking maybe everybody should smoke some of the local shrubbery we have up here and keep their minds in their own bedrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
The world would be a better place.
There you go. Thank you, sir. He has a perfectly good right to marry that he's not using.
Yes.
Give that like a hand-me-down to a gay.
Not using it because he's sitting on his couch eating Funyuns. Funyuns for equality.
Funyuns is just a good word. We don't know why.
I'm going to sit here and prick my finger on my spindle.
Matt's in Chicago. Hi, Matt.
I'm so glad you played the Evil Chuckles clip.
Yeah, Matt, I just would like to confirm before I go on that all three of my dead grandparents are in my butter urn, and I don't care what Jim says.
Your butter churn, your butter urn.
Her butter urn. That's where she stores her butter after she's churned it.
I wanted to call about the misuse of the word sodomy, and Pastor Robertson did it many times. If you remember the story, and I know you guys have talked about it on the air many times.
Yes.
When they came for the angels, Lot offered them his daughters, and it's a shocking thing for a modern reader to hear that. Take my daughters, please.
Take them.
Yeah. What he was doing, he was honoring a sacred trust to protect his guests. It says over and over in the Old Testament, John Fugelsang will back me up, welcome the stranger in your midst, for you were once a stranger in Egypt. And this was a sacred trust. At all costs, he had to protect his guests. And the Sodomites were violating that trust.
Mm-hmm.
That was why God punished them. So the real Sodomites are the Minutemen and anti-immigration people.
Yep, I hear you. Ooh. Dead on, exactly. You know,
rainbows
if you're trying to be nice to your guests,
happened.
Why not offer the Funyuns
rather
than your daughter?
Yes, please.
I'd be like, what?
Snacks? A cold drink? Sex with
why
my daughter?
Me?
Take your pick there, buddy. My God.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let me, Jake in Chicago real quick. Hey, Jake.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. I enjoyed you Saturday night. It was really terrific.
Thank you. Thank you. That sounds dirty, but I guess it wasn't. All right, hang on. We gotta. Now
we have a break.
Yes, he had to mention, you know, our
Yes, your interlude.
Dalliance on Saturday. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. We're in the midst of Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler,
hey. Hello.
Live in the studio.
So exciting.
You can email us all at the regular website, like Mark did. Steph, baby, great news, Bumblebee. The internet has decided any name at all can come after the dot. Think of it. You can get StephanieMiller.tramp, StephanieMiller.harlot. I'm buying up all those domain names to sell back to you later. No need to thank me. All right, thanks for that, Mark.
StephanieMiller.slurp.
Thank you to everybody in Chicago. I was slutting it up something fierce at the Chicago Theater Saturday night. Hello.
I wish I had seen all of this.
Yeah, I did a lot of evidence? Groping, a lot of straddling of people, some kissing, some feeling up. You know, Mama's got to get some sugar on the road.
just all the gropes add up to one sexual encounter. But
yeah, we had a blues band. I did the audience sing-along version of Baby, I Was Born This Way for Gay Pride. It was just, you know.
Sounds wonderful.
Harriet, Steph, thank you for the incredible Chicago show. You, John, and Hal did yourselves a high bar. My mom and I had the best time. Please thank Max and Fred, your handsome man, for sharing you. Oh, Max and Fred, we're so happy to see Mama when she gets.
They're thinking, why are you talking like that?
Yeah, they don't like this road stuff. Every time they're looking at me now like, really?
Like, what's happening? What's going
again?
On? Again? We don't know a lot, but we know this is not okay.
Brenna in Island Lake, Illinois. Love the Chicago show. Staff, don't care how big your nose used to be. That smile must have always been. Oh, thank you. My nose, my original nose. Huge. As Donald Trump would say, huge.
And your original smile was fangy.
Yeah, actually, my original smile was gray and fangy under my giant nose. But thank you, Brenna, for your thoughts. Hal Sparks adorable. He's like a big puppy. You just want to roll him over and rub his belly. Yeah, I do that on the road.
That's what they like to do in
John,
the bottom.
John Fee was saying, man, utterly brilliant. Yeah, indeed.
I'll roll you over and rub your belly.
My friend Trish makes the same sound when I mention John Fee was saying. As her boyfriend Rob does when he saw a picture of you yesterday on the Sexy Liberal website.
Oh,
he
no.
went,
Oh, no. Oh, Lord.
See, that's it. Jim, do it.
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh.
That's it.
Everything
that's the sound.
My ears are hurting now.
SexyLiberal.com is the website, everybody. Tucson up next.
You better get on that.
Yeah, get on that one. July 9th, Boston, July 16th. And then with Aisha Tyler in August, Santa Fe, August 6th, Detroit, August 20th. And then on and on. It's just going to be, we've got Asheville in September. We've got, in October, I might as well just, I'm taking a nap now, preemptively. We've got Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles.
Exactly. It is a juggernaut of hilarity.
Oh, God.
It is slowly. It is a funny flark and flurgan of funniness. Mm,
it's really. It's driving me to an early grave. But enjoy.
Strength breaks down. So early in the morning, so sleepy.
Sleepy now. All right, come on. Feel the electricity. Michelle Bachman's in the race.
I am so profoundly grateful for the blessings that I have received, both from God and from this great country.
Pork.
And not because of the position of this office, but because I am determined that every American deserves these blessings and that together, once again, we can secure the promise of the future for America.
Every American, unless you're gay or of color
or Democrat or
weird,
or belong to a union.
Exactly. Not a part of my particular Christian sect.
So, as I mentioned earlier, Bachman, the headline, Bachman personally benefited from earmarks and falsely claims that she never did. The LA Times released an investigative report showing she and her family personally benefit from hundreds of thousands of dollars in government aid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Family farm.
Oh, my gosh.
She was less than truthful when disclosing the full extent of the earmarks she's taken during an interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News. Wallace confronted her with the government funds she's accepted over the years while portraying herself as a fiscal conservative. They include $30,000 for a counseling clinic run by her husband.
Ooh. Oh, is that a de-gang? Smells
dirty.
$260,000 in federal subsidies for a family farm in Wisconsin, where she's listed as a partner.
They kind of fact-checked her response on Fox News, and frankly, hang on, where's mine?
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
The LA Times swiftly rebutted her defense on Fox. Her insistence that, quote, my husband and I have never gotten a penny of money from the farm directly contradicts her own financial disclosure forms, where she reported receiving between $32,000-something and $105,000 in income from the farm at a minimum in 2005-06. Her claim that she has been faithful to the no earmark pledge simply doesn't square with facts. As Wallace pointed out, her counseling clinic benefited from federal money, even if it was just for employee training. How does that, what difference does it make what it went for?
Yeah.
She said, first of all, the money went for training employees. Okay, so that's money that's your clinic from the government.
Than using money for things that money is for.
Yes.
That's totally different.
And I'm just saying, if that was training for D-Gang, it didn't work for her. What am I saying?
Her A-line skirts went out in 1981.
I've seen films of her husband, and he's very enthusiastic.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
Yeah, he is, because she's his creation.
He is Franken-crazy.
Yeah, and he's also like a gay camp. Isn't he like a gay camp guy?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Honestly?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, anyway, so she took a bunch of stuff for pet products. It's the old thing, like, it's not pork if it's your pork.
Yeah,
she's, you know,
that's not pork.
Yeah, that's not pork.
That's, I mean, it's vegetarian. It's just got some pork in it. That's all.
I want to bring a voice, your voice, to the White House, just as I brought your voice to the halls of the United States Congress. To secure that promise of the future, not only for our generation, but for the generations yet to come.
Well, if it's the future, then yeah.
Well, I'd love her to be president because apparently she served in a totally separate legislative hall called the Congress, which I have never seen or heard of, but I would love to learn more about. And doesn't she always sound as if she's gasping for air, like she's just clinging to reality? And so I would like to... Bring it not just for this generation.
And her latest screw-up.
Trying to hold on and not go crazy.
Her latest screw-up, actually closer to the truth, if she becomes president, we will live in John Wayne Gacy's America.
Yay!
That's pretty much.
Clown suits for everybody.
All right.
She has a staffer who wrote Tuesday that his former boss is decidedly not ready to be president.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Mm. What's interesting about the staffers on the Republican side of things, this seems to be an epidemic.
Right.
All these different people, staffers are quitting, right? First, all of Rush Limbaugh. They're all the same. Newt Gingrich's staffers quit. A bunch of the pizza guys' staffers just quit. And now we have Michelle.
Yeah.
What's her last name? Crazy. Michelle Bachmann's staffers all quitting and saying that she's not ready to be president. What's happening on that side
what's
over
happening?
There? What's going
this,
on over
the
there?
The truth is bursting
what's
out
in,
all over.
What's in the water?
Randy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey there. I think you're being way too hard on Michelle Bachmann. I mean, if you ever saw John Wayne Gacy kind of strutting around getting on his horse, it's an easy mistake to make.
That's funny.
Okay. Look, I grew up with all my grandparents. I was very close to my grandfather. We were born on the same day. Now, my wife and I decided to wait. We're in our 50s. The kids are just now hitting their teens. They only have two grandparents left. I regret they're not going to have the same kind of relationship I had with my grandfather, but somehow they're surviving it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they like to hear the stories. They wish they could do it, but, you know, they've got crazy uncles to fill in.
Yeah, everybody's got a crazy, creepy uncle.
Just give them some water balloons and a bag of butterscotches. It'll be just like Grandma and Grandpa around.
Just get some Werther's.
My grandmother, can I just say for the record, I just cue the hobo horn. I just lost my grandmother, and I was very close to my grandmother.
Oh, no.
But she's the only grandparent that I really had was close to. I lost most of my other grandparents way before I was born when I was very young.
Right.
I was very close to my grandmother. I don't know what it is about old ladies and the Werther's. My grandmother literally ate so many Werther's, she had the runs. I was like, Grandmom, this turns
into a hell of a
candy. You could fall asleep and you should go with her mouth and be open and there'd be like five Werther's. She was like a chipmunk. She was storing butterscotch for the afterlife. What's happening? What is happening? Old people, somebody call in and explain the hard candy obsession.
That's going to be on T-shirt. I don't know why. Storing butterscotch for the afterlife.
I'm just a picture of like a lovely old lady with just cheeks like a chipmunk. I'm storing butterscotch for the afterlife.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. You know, these guys have been calling in about the grandparent thing and, sure. you know, about the sodomy thing. I mean, I am so tired of gay people being reduced to tabs and slots, and that's all we are, you know? It's like as if we don't have souls, you know? Most right. of us...
What do you do? Where do you put... What goes in where?
I think it's clear gay people have soul, because when you go to the club, I mean, they are working it out. What? Hey!
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, these people have, you know, they expose more about themselves. Bad word choice of words, mm-hmm. I guess, but they do expose more about their own personal kind of, you know, prurient interests than it does anything else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more they talk, the worse shape they get. And, you know, Chris is right. It's about relationship. You come home, you want somebody to talk to about your rotten day, and cuddle it. And, you know, and guys, with my looks, boy, you better hope it's about the relationship and nothing else.
I believe, didn't you introduce your partner to me in Minneapolis once? You said, this is my significant bother?
Yes, I did. And that's my ex now. But that's a whole other sad story. So,
Yeah, that guy was getting hitting a little too close to home with me, too. I'm like, no, I don't have a girlfriend. Shut up, okay? I got nobody to eat dinner with. I got a dog to drool on my dinner.
I mean, I think you made a really good point, though. I mean, I'm in an interracial relationship, and they were illegal until very recently. And they made the same kind of arguments about interracial. You know, well, you put them together, and they're not even going to make a baby. It's going to be like a little flying thing with one black leg and one white leg. And, you know what I mean? Come flying out like those monkeys in Oz. You know what I mean? It's like these crazy arguments that make no sense at all.
Yes.
But and what's interesting to me is that a lot of people who don't understand it, they reduce it to its simplest element. Like
right.
it's really about, you know, the tab and the slot.
Just gotta make little mochaccinos.
Little foxy mochaccino babies. But in truth, this is really about protecting people's right to have a stable relationship that society recognizes. And you just hate it when you hear about some couple that was together for 30 years and then the one partner dies and they can't get like a pension. It's outrageous.
I mean, you're right. It wasn't that long ago.
Was not that long ago.
As a liberal, as you know, I always have a one black best friend. And
yeah, well, of course you do. It's a rule. And I grew up in San Francisco. When you turn 18, you get 3 gay friends in a Prius.
I remember she was also married to a white guy, and her kids, I remember she told me, this is only a few years ago, she would say, sometimes she'd be in the supermarket, and people would literally say to her, what are they?
Yeah.
I mean.
So where'd you get those ones?
They're from Rigel 7.
I wrote away. I went on the internet and wrote away for them. I got them on eBay. What are they?
I mean, seriously. Yeah. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Come back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What is that dance? Are you having a brain-related event?
That not all of my people can dance. That's what I just did. Conducted a little science experiment during which I proved not all stereotypes apply. Yes, I was eating watermelon this morning, but no, I cannot dance.
It looked like you were trying to wave away angry birds or something.
Get out, vile spirits.
Looks like an exorcism. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Harry in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Harry.
How you doing, Steph?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the gay marriage thing. You know, I know people going to do what they want to do, and that's their business. I understand all that. But moral conduct is moral conduct, man. Before you was born, before anybody was born, there was a law set. Not by you, hello?
We're listening.
Yeah, not by you, not by me, not by nobody in America. No government, no nothing. There was a law set, and it's considered to be moral conduct.
Who set the law?
I listen to you a lot.
What are you talking about? Who set what law?
God set a law of man and woman. Even fruit have a man and a woman. Even ants, dogs,
fruit?
Cats.
No, lots of animals. Actually, lots of animals and plants reproduce asexually, and lots of other animals.
And homosexuality exists in every species.
Every single species on the planet.
Yeah, but did that yet make it right.
Well, yes. God made it that way.
Yes, indeed.
God made it that way.
God doesn't make mistakes.
Penguins.
Stephanie, God did not make homosexuals to come
he didn't?
With each other. He condemns it in the Bible, the Quran.
No, he does not.
He does not.
No, he does not.
Sodom and Gomorrah is condemned.
There are Bible experts that disagree on what different passages mean. If you were going to take the Bible literally, sir, you'd have to kill your child if he swears at you.
Or stone your wife to death.
Or stone your wife to death if she wore two kinds of fabric.
And not eat seafood.
I know, but Stephanie, look. Reality check is this. When there's a law set by God, we don't have
okay,
no right
to... Okay, but that's what you're saying.
Well,
that's
I can tell by listening to you, by your accent, dear sir, that you are of my tribe. And I will also tell you that people...
I am a Muslim.
No, I'm not a Muslim. This is Aisha. I'm black. I'm not a Muslim, but I am black, and I can tell that you're black. So I would also posit that people have used the Bible to justify slavery. They've used the Bible to justify...
Yeah, that's in the Bible, too.
The separation of races. They use the Bible to justify, to prevent people from marrying interracially. So are all those things okay as well?
He's not listening to you. Oh, no, go ahead.
No. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I want to say is this. The Bible, the Quran, and every book that speaks of religion, it even condemns men and women if they ain't married being intimate.
Is that do you believe that no one should have sex unless they're married? Is that your belief as well? Were you abstinent until you got married? Were you a virgin until you got married?
No, I was wrong. I was wrong for what I did, and I'm willing to accept it. It's when we acknowledge our wrong, accept it, and move forward, we do better.
But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you should be killed.
Yeah, the Bible says you should be stoned and ripped limb from limb.
Let's go to the Quran. Let's go to the Torah. They all condemn homosexual activities. They condemn out of wedlock marriage about sex. It condemns alcoholism. It condemns gangbanging. It condemns everything that's wrong.
Gangbanging is in the Bible? Wow.
Gangbanging is where each other is killing each other on the name of a flag.
It's a commandment that says thou shalt pull your pants up.
Yeah, the commandment that says don't be red, don't be wearing blue in that red neighborhood. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get along. Yeah, it was the Crips and the Bloods.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right, then.
Well.
And for the opposing view, Eric in Harlem. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Eric.
Eric in Harlem.
Hey, Mama. How you doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Hey, Aisha.
Hi.
Big fan, baby, except for season 4, 24.
I was naughty.
We wanted to kill you.
I know. I was so naughty on that show. Sorry.
But you were great.
Thank you very much.
You were great on that
you.
Show. I really loved you on there.
Thank
and,
you.
You know, I thank you for standing up to bigotry anywhere.
Thank you.
You know,
that's
as far
kind.
As that guy calling in, that was stupid. And, you know, a lot of... Anyway, you know something?
Thank you.
I wanted to call in because I really think this pushing the president forward on this marriage equality, I think is not the fight that we should have right now. He's doing the right thing. He came out and in his speech on equality, and he said that all gay couples should have the same rights as everybody else, you know, and it kind of reminded me of this particular episode in the West Wing where they had went to California and it was like mirrored the same thing. And I remember what Martin Sheen's character said, you know, he said that I will become the issue. You know, he said, I'm like a firecracker. If I come out on this, the issue itself goes
right,
away.
Right, right. Well,
I become
yeah,
the
I hear
issue.
You, honey. Yeah, and it, God forbid we end up with a President Bachman. I mean, I get both arguments.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. They should call you Larry King's chair, because you stink.
Fartulence, hello.
Oh, easily amused over here.
My two things I love best, fart jokes and Larry King, all in one soundbite.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, by the way, Bible fun facts from the listeners. Rich says, Steph, in Genesis 19, it says that men wanted to rape the angels, but nowhere in that passage does it say it's those men's homosexuality. The sin mentioned there was rape, which I believe the ecclesiastical move John Finkelstein has also pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, Bible fun facts. What's more fun than that?
All right. Funner.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing, shall we, kids?
Hooray.
Oh, by the way, Fox News almost completely ignored the historic same-sex marriage vote in New York. Somebody did the numbers from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Fox News mentioned New York and marriage just five separate times compared to 32 times on MSNBC, 23 on CNN. Fox then ran specials on the Casey Anthony murder trial and a rerun of the O'Reilly Factor rather than anything about the historic. Oh, by the way, guess what else they failed to report back a couple of years ago? That Ken Melman came out. that apparently didn't happen on Fox News. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Okay. Stuart Varney on the Fox News. Stuart Varney.
We've had a near $1 trillion stimulus plan, massive increases in government spending for the last 2 years, and we've ended up with massive debt and a very slow economy. What we've already done has not worked. The president proposes to double down and do more of what we've already done. And he's supposing that it's going to be a success. I don't know how you get to that place, a success, from a policy which has already failed. I don't get it.
He should have done more to begin with, like Paul Krugman said he should.
He should have done the stuff that the other guy did, but better than the first guy did when he was doing it.
No, but he did what Roosevelt did. He listened to the deficit hawks, and which slowed down the New Deal, and then we took World War II to recover.
Yeah, it's just, the stimulus provably worked. Yeah. You can look at any chart or graph.
Demonstrably worked.
Demonstrably.
And I mean, I think there's like three economists in the world who don't think that it worked.
Yeah.
It was just as
Jim is, referencing and Paul Krugman said, it would have probably created more jobs had it been bigger.
And had we pushed harder. Let's also say, if we're going to present a morsel of the other side, not just more aggressive, but also if it had been more effectively put into place. And it's not Obama's fault that government is a lumbering giant like turning a battleship. You know what I mean? It's like some of these programs are in place and they're not being effectively distributed. And that is about bureaucracy and not about a Democrat or a Republican in the White House.
All right, Steve Ducey on the Fox and Friends.
Don't you think the real emergency is the president's poll numbers? Because they're going down, down, down. You look at the price.
No, they're not.
You look at the number of people who are unemployed. You look at the price of gas. It's like, we got to do something. Let's not expand production of oil. Let's just tap the keg.
The prices are going down, you dope.
Can we have one more dummy talk about upping the production of domestic oil? And there is no way, there's nothing that we could do domestically to increase oil production that would have any effect on gas prices for the next 10 to 20 years. So just stuff that idea right up your butt. Jump into your giant expedition. Drive it down the block and then fill it up again because you made a bad choice and you want to drive your little brood of...
And it has nothing to do with...
I'm so angry,
man.
I just had to trail off.
Wall Street speculation.
I haven't seen you get that angry since people's dog outfits. Dog outfits.
Since Posh Spice painted her dog's toenails. I reserve my rage for only the most contemptible of behaviors.
All right, have a seed and stem from the very end of the Glenn Beck television show.
Can we create a system that gives you the maximum power to rule yourself and the maximum limitation on someone who wants to rule over you? Because only God can set up a kingdom that is truly just. You know, I love this stuff about social justice. It's garbage about social justice. There's no such thing. There can be equal justice. Sure. We can strive for equal justice here.
My God.
But there's only one great power that will
all
be
right. I don't,
every
you know,
power.
I think he's not even, he's lost interest in his own
right.
Bowl.
He's not even on mic half the time.
Mabbling.
There's no such thing as justice. He talks about America like it's a caliphate. Like, what does he do when he gets home at night? Where is he living?
Huge mansion bought by his bolt.
Right. Do ultra-conservatives really think that the president rules over the country like a sultan?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's been interesting how many people on the ultra-conservative side, and I'm not saying that they dominate, but they're doing pretty well,
right,
don't understand the fundamental structure of our government, separation of powers, and the Constitution, and talk about it constantly. Like, let's just be dumb out loud all the time.
Yes. George Will on ABC.
Iowa is made for a showdown between Rick Perry, who has Texas
job creation to match Romney, and he has Michelle Bachmann's rapport with evangelical Christians, who are 60% of the participants in the Iowa caucuses. So there's a two-step here. How do you get down to the binary choice?
Okay, first of all, Mitt Romney, 47th in job creation in Massachusetts when he was governor, and I believe we talked about Rick Perry, that those numbers are complete bull as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of them are minimum wage jobs. That it's just amazing how they spin these records. And he had used the stimulus to balance his budget in Texas.
Uh-huh.
He kept talking, bragging, oh, Texas has our fiscal house in order. And then the news came out that he was completely broke, and he had to use the stimulus.
Until he was bailed out by the federal government, which he wants to secede from.
Now, you know what? This is pity, isn't it, that you're putting in one more Glenn Beck TV thing? All right.
What I mean is what de Tocqueville talked about. That there would be people that would become so rich that they would kick the doors closed for others. Soros is doing it now.
What?
He's kicking the door closed for other people.
Hmm.
When these people like Rockefeller got so wealthy, that's what they did. Is there any regulation on that?
What?
Huh?
What is he talking about?
What?
I don't even... Okay.
Wait a minute. He wants to regulate how rich people on the left use their money.
Yes,
basically.
Not on the right.
Yes. But not the Koch brothers, for instance.
No, of course not. And tax just the liberal richies.
Right.
And then let the conservative richies go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's always...
We're a little twinsy
because
just now.
God's
that's always
plan.
My right-wing brother's argument. Oh, well, if you want to be more addicted, then go ahead.
Right.
Okay. All right. A spokesman for Representative Todd Akin, Republican of Missouri, last week accused liberals of having a hatred for God, has refused to apologize. He said he was commenting on a difference between the two ideas, why conservatives believe rights come from God, liberals think they come from the government.
What?
He said he
what?
Was...
I can speak for all liberals, although, you know, I often attempt to.
Yes.
But I can say that I don't think that liberals think that rights come from the government. I think they believe that the government is there to protect people's rights from being infringed upon by others.
Yes.
The government is just a tool. The government is not some kind of awesome seat of power. It is not the mountain of Mordor, okay?
Buddy in Columbus on Governor Judge Chokehold. Hello, buddy.
Hey, before that, I got to say hi to the queen of the BBC. I'm not talking about the British Broadcast Company. Queen of the boogity boogity cheese.
Queen of boogity boogity cheese is here, Aisha Tyler.
Well, and thank you, dear sir.
Hey, you know, if you go by the thing on how Prosser, quote-unquote, won the election.
Yeah.
Okay, the governor, after he lost, said, hey, what happens if someone finds ballots? Then they find ballots.
Yeah, weird.
In her own personal computer, saying that I just missed counting the second biggest city in the county, and they just happen to show up my own PC, and it puts them over the top, above what you can, you know, for the recount. Then Brad Blog last week came out. Someone was up running those voting machines in Waukesha County at 3 in the morning, uh-huh. 2 days before the election.
Yeah, in karma, bitch. It looks like Prosser might get tossed out one way or another. Karma's a bitch. Steal an election, isn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, I love this headline. Governor Walker booed at Devil's Lake. He went for
the Devil's Lake of Fire.
Yeah, he found more protesters there than well-wishers. One of the protesters said, we felt it was important that Walker not have his phony photo op. Our state parks are not for sale. Yeah, he's trying to sell them to the, the Koch brothers, I believe. So as he was hustled into his car, a protester put a pink poster on his windshield that read, Walker, your pink slip is coming.
Adorable.
You want Teddy Roosevelt to descend from heaven and smite him with a big stick? Well, whispering softly in his ear, you're done.
Ken in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say homosexuality is a deviant behavior.
Uh-huh. Mm. Only if you're doing it right.
as is murder.
What?
What? Oh, same
wow.
As murder.
As is murder is a deviant behavior.
Wow.
And as such, society has the right to regulate it.
Regulate it,
like kill gay people.
There is no scientific evidence to say homosexuals are born that
way. Oh, well,
way.
Yes, there is.
Yes,
yes there is. An overwhelming amount of scientific
mean,
evidence to that point. Yes, so much so.
No, there isn't. There is none.
Yes, there is, honey. Just because you haven't read it doesn't mean
so
it doesn't
do you think?
I have a degree in psychology.
Oh, and you sound right, you sound it as well.
And there is none.
Mr. Car Driver.
Ken, do you think homosexuality should be punishable by death, like in Uganda?
No, I don't think it should be sanctioned and encouraged.
So what should we do about it? What should we do about it?
You're going to have more deviant behavior.
Oh, I see. What should we do about it then?
I think people are free to conduct themselves the way they want to conduct themselves, but if they want to intrude on other society.
How are they intruding on others? How are they intruding on other society?
So maybe we should have like leper colonies for gays, that kind of thing, just to separate them out?
By inflicting their values and notions on people to say that it's okay.
Well, no one's trying to force you.
Okay.
No one's trying to force you to think that it's okay. I mean, you don't have to think it's okay if you don't want to.
That would be like a bunch of serial killers standing out there saying, well, you know what we do.
Oh,
we were
of
born
course
this
it's
way.
Not.
So who are gay people hurting? Serial killers are killing other people. Who are gay people hurting?
I think they hurt society at large.
How so?
I think they hurt people. They're intruding themselves. They want to be raising kids and stuff, and I don't think that's an optimum environment for children to be raised in. I don't. They're trying to influence education. They're trying to influence schools.
Casey Anthony is straight.
Yeah. Casey Anthony's straight. She's a pretty great example of a heterosexual parent.
That's another deviant behavior. See?
I see.
And see, that's the kind of thing you get into when you.
But Casey Anthony can raise a child, but I guess gays shouldn't.
When you start sanctioning deviant behavior.
All right.
Sanctioning gay marriage and then straight women kill their children. That's natural.
I have to take a break and think about that. I could be facing sanctions.
I'm going to sanction you. I want a cheese stick out of your breakfast. that's my fine to you, lady. People like that make me sad.
I didn't have the heart to tell them I am one.
We're
having a vague
sad
conversation.
You did a good job, though.
Thanks.
You were like you're trying to be reasonable. That's like trying to have a conversation
with your
dog.
Comparing me to a serial killer.
As he's scooting his ass on the carpet. Doggy, let's talk about this. There are other ways to soothe your itch than this. Let's discuss it.
I think he only likes me because I'm not actively being deviant because no one will date me. So I'm not technically engaging in the deviant behavior. He's going to withhold sanctions for now.
Well, and then somebody on the Facebook page made the comment of when we were talking about the other guy who called in with a similar kind of argument, saying that he was like, well, there's no homosexuality in nature. We're like, yes, there's lots of homosexuality in nature. Well, that doesn't make it right. let's go have a conversation with the katydids. Let's discuss it with the penguins. I mean, what are you talking about?
We got to take a break and go sanction some penguins. 47 minutes to the hour. What's going on today?
My face hurts.
The crazies are coming out today.
Yes.
They're waiting for me to get back after the marriage equality vote,
It was a huge wave inwards towards the beach, and this is that little baby wave going back
storing
out.
Storing up
crazy.
A big can of crazy for Mama over the weekend. Yeah. Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. It's getting hot in here.
This is the definition of a hit because it is the stupidest song ever written, and the feminist in me was so offended by it. And yet when it comes on, hey, raise the roof, foundations, good gracious, massive, potatious, I like it. Okay, I don't know the rest of the words.
Chris knows that. My feminist credentials go out the window when the what's the song I love? You know the because I'm a lady in the street, as you know.
Yeah. And I will argue with anybody who will have me that
that's a lot of people.
That's a big crowd.
That Sir Mix-a-Lot's Big Butt song is a feminist anthem.
Mm. I think so too.
I do, and I love that song, and I play it all the time.
The Cosmo. I don't need
Baby Got Back.
Cosmo things.
Right? Exactly.
And just before this, we were talking about the Rosetta Stone, and
he likes girls at red beans and rice.
It's a wide ranging intellectual conversation that we had here in the
Sun. You know, so he's saying his anaconda won't have none
unless you got buns, huh?
Becky, look at her butt.
Yeah.
It is so big. Only talk to
Stephanie
Miller. Black.
And unfortunately, you should know, I don't have, my butt is very flat, actually. It's, if people walk up to me and look at my butt and couldn't see my face, they might go, what's she? Because I really don't have
all right.
I have Asian man on the bus butt. So
this hour, whether they want to or not, is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up your files whenever you're connected to the internet. Couldn't be easier. Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for a free trial, 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. What were we talking about
we're
during the break?
A very intellectual conversation.
Oh, we've had a lot of homophobes call this morning.
Oh, like all crazy
and
homophobes.
About you shouldn't shove that in their face. And take me to my flying joke.
Okay, yes, I will. So we were talking on the break about how you shouldn't throw your gayness all around. You're trying to force me to be inside your gayness and mush me into your gay pile of gayness. And Chris was saying, you know, it's I have the opposite, which is that straight people can walk around and be like, oh, you know, me and my husband just went on vacation.
Yes.
Here's the picture of us on a cruise.
Yes.
And here's me enjoying my medical insurance that I enjoy because I'm married. And here's me spending my life insurance that I got when my husband died. And I can't put a picture of my partner and me on my desk without people walking by and going, you know, hey, you're throwing your ignorance in my face. To which I said, yeah, and if you don't like it, can take a flying.
Right, and then Jim pointed out
a flying bleep is not sanctioned by the Lord.
If God had meant you to fly
two things
and...
that do not go together.
And then I pointed out that, I don't know if people know this, but eagles mate in midair. So they actually...
So God made
the American eagle.
The symbol of the United States, the bald eagle.
Yes.
Take flying bleeps all the time.
Take flying... That's
especially
exactly.
Especially in Alaska. Let the eagle
Ellen DeGeneres
soar.
Used to...
eagle soar like she's never soared before.
Oh, boy. That was so not necessary, but thank you.
We have not been drinking.
That's what he was singing about.
Nice. Ellen DeGeneres used to do a very funny bit about that they actually sometimes don't disengage in time and then they hit the ground. And she said, that's commitment. I stopped to answer the cell phone.
I know what that
she
feels
said, don't
like.
You think you'd start faking it when you got back close to the ground? Oh, no,
oh
great, thank
oh,
you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, all right, done. Bye-bye. And tapping out.
And see you. Speaking of birds, Nancy Pelosi, an Angry Birds fan. She got her first iPhone, then got an iPad. She's been known to play Gamer 2 of Angry Birds.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a description of what goes on in Congress.
Yes.
Just across the aisle.
She wish she could take fling a pig at John Boehner. Ping! Hit Aaron Cantor right in the Adam's apple.
Stink! You self-satisfied, supercilious jerk.
How many years in my life, Aisha, do you think I've waited to say, Mrs. Brady got crabs?
Oh, I'm so glad you saved the story for the end of the show.
Florence Henderson, who played Carol Brady, says she once got crabs after a one-night stand with John Lindsay, who was the mayor of New York at the time.
Taking the phrase tell-all book way
is
past its limits.
Story of a hoary lady. All right. Come on. Fill in your own. Okay.
Ha-cha-cha.
She said it was in her upcoming book. She recounts that she was cheating on her husband in the 60s and gave in to her better judgment at the Beverly Hills Hotel. She went home later that night to woke to a grisly surprise. She saw little black things crawling. She had three little crabs.
Love her orange chest
eyes. I read that article, and it's like she has the interlude, and then the next morning...
She has the crabs.
The crabs are everywhere.
She says that Lindsay sent her flowers and a note of apology. Oh,
and
my goodness.
Crabs.
And
remember,
a bar of soap.
If you give
soap.
Someone crabs, send them pro flowers, and don't forget to type Stephanie in the box. The sorry I gave you crabs bouquets.
But, like, you're pretty crabby if, like, the first thing you notice when you roll over in bed is, like, you know, the sheets moving. Like, I mean, that's what the story was like. It was like, usually crabs are something, I imagine it's something you discover over time. Like, oh, I feel, but she was like, oh, God. It was like
there
a scene
was
from
several,
the mummy. The scarabs were coming up.
Several crabs living all together.
Get some melted butter. That'll scare the crabs away. They see that and they
All right, you know
ship.
What? You can't really go anywhere from crabs, so we're done.
Yeah. we peaked.
We peaked. All right. Aisha Tyler will be in the Sexy Liver Show in August, August 6th in Santa Fe, August 20th in Detroit. Get tickets now, sexyliberal.com, all the upcoming dates. We love Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
I love you guys so much.
All right. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.